Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Evolution is more than a theory. It is a fundamental scientific principle.
You know, there's a scientific term for that.
It's called baloney.
We are so stupid that we think that just because telephones and computers and cars are intelligently designed, that means we are too. Well, we're not.
I don't trust that Richard Dawkins.
In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. Is the only logical explanation, unless you don't want to believe in science and logic.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Do not be responsible. This is Wretched Radio. Perhaps you have been missing something that you're not even aware of, a little thing called joy. Let me take you back in time. 2 days ago, chili was on the minds of Mrs. Friel and myself. So we decided, let's make some chili. You know how this goes. You start putting the recipe together and you discover, hey, we're missing stuff. Off I go to the local grocery store, which, by the way, apparently they were not anticipating they'd have any customers. There was nobody working there to help us. And it's not easy to find chili powder. So I find all of the goods that I'm looking for and grapes. The grapes, a little on the pricey side, kind of hurts, but they were very snappy. I go to check out in silence. Not because the clerk didn't exchange pleasantries with me, but because I just didn't. You say, Friel, we're already disinterested in this story. What's the deal? Well, the deal is, I started to think to myself, I used to interact with people all the time. I'm like that commercial. What is the insurance? You know, you act like your dad. You know, you just start giving people advice or you just start engaging with totals. That, yeah, I do that. And I've done that for as long as I can remember breathing. But I didn't do it with this young lady. And it caused me to start thinking, well, what's the matter with me? Why am I not as interactive, maybe trying to be pleasant, have an opportunity to share the gospel, just nothing. Cut to the next day. We were going to go to Kennesaw State University. Friel, how long is this travelogue going to continue? Well, we're almost at our destination, which actually is you, but the weather forecast, burr, a little chilly. You can't expect anybody to stand around talking to a tall, skinny stranger when it's only going to be 55 degrees. So we decided to cancel it and shoot the regularly scheduled Wretched TV shows. But Sebastian said, hey, I've got an idea based on the schedule. We're doing a special shoot next Wednesday. Why don't you just take the day and write? He suggested that because I've got a book deadline and wow, is it pressing? And so I mulled on the option to shoot TV shows, come into the office, do my responsibilities, or go right. I decided I'm going to go right. And so I spent 8 hours writing a new book, all the while thinking, ooh, all the stuff that I could be doing, all of the things that I could be getting accomplished if I were just at the office fulfilling my responsibilities. And that leads us to the Little River Band. Do you have any songs in your life that just automatically catapult you back in time? I do, and this is one of them. I think it might have been 1978 when this song came out. Friel, when is this going to end? It was 1978 when this came out, and I must have been having a good year. In fact, I think it was kind of the turn, the linchpin in my life because, well, let's just say the three-stepfather rotation dance that we did at home wasn't always joyful, but 1978, things changed when I was sent away to school. That's literally what happened. And this music must have been playing, and I must have been going through a good season because as I was walking home from writing the book, I had my earphones in, and this song came on, reminiscing. And immediately, I had a flood of, oh, yeah. That was such a good, what made that such a good time? And I concluded it was because, and this was a fallacious conclusion, because I didn't have any responsibilities like I do today. I didn't have the worries back then, so it got me to thinking, what were my responsibilities then and now? And I concluded, biblically, you're finally getting to the Bible! I concluded biblically, I have no responsibilities. None. And neither do you. If you're thinking, wait a second, what just happened here? I did not see this exit ramp being taken. Think about the doctrine of sovereignty. Are you responsible for anything turning out anyway? And the answer to that is no. The best laid plans can be a disaster. Poorly planned affairs can suddenly turn out magnificent. Why? Because you're not responsible, and I'm not responsible. All I can be, and all you can be, is a more biblical word, faithful. That's what you're called to. That's what I'm called to. And so as I started to muse on this, I started to think through my concerns du jour, which are also the concerns of the day. Oh, I didn't get this done. Wait a second. Hold on. I didn't get that done. Wait. Hold on. Let's relive the decision-making process. Sebastian says, take the day to go writing someplace. We can make up the shoots another time. Ooh, I don't know. I've got this and I've got that. But I thought it through. I was desiring to be responsible. I measured the importance of the things that needed to get done. There was the urgent and then there was the super urgent. And I faithfully chose to put my efforts toward writing the book and not toward going into the office. And that's where my responsibility ends. With faithfulness. Let's just say, while I was away, the ministry house burned down. Things went kafritz. Shows didn't get delivered to networks. There were people who were upset that I wasn't there to be in a meeting. I'm not responsible for those outcomes. I made a faithful decision, and I can then rest, and so can you. This command to not be responsible might start decreasing the anxiety in your life. It might start bringing it down when you realize that you and I do not make good gods. We are not running the planet. You're not running your home. You're not running your kids. You're not responsible for anything because God is sovereign and he's doing whatever he wills. And he simply calls you to be faithful. And that means as you go about making decisions every day, just think it through with the faculties that God has provided to you. They're not infallible, but Lord, you know my heart. I'm desiring to be faithful to you. I'm going to choose to do this. I will trust you for the outcome. And then you can get back to being joyful and happy again and not weighed down by the carking cares of your day. You can have joy. And speaking of the carking cares of the day, which are also the carking cares, to sure. Have you been consuming a lot of Henny Penny news? Have you been listening to a fair amount of negative prognostications about the future of Western civilization? It's all going up in flames! Please note, Christians are not to be naive. We don't stick our heads into the cultural or political sand and pretend it doesn't exist. But we cannot, I mean it, we cannot let it rob us of joy. Jesus wants us to have joy. Even in the midst of a collapsing society, you say, but for the future, this is going to be awful. Perhaps, but you're not responsible for it. God is. So while you're here, be faithful to the tasks and the assignments that he's given to you, and then you can rest and not be bummed out all the time. You're not responsible, so stop thinking that you are. Let me ask you a question. Let's just say that the economy comes collapsing down. That's a bummer. Question, First of all, are you responsible for the performance of the stock market? That's a ridiculous question, isn't it? And yet we tend to think somehow my sentiments about it will affect the outcome. A question. The stock market crumbles. Are your sins still forgiven? I see. Your child is a bit of a prodigal. Does God still love you? Your marriage is perhaps a little bit chilly. Does God still have warm affection for you because you are in Christ? You see, we really, really shouldn't be worried about anything when we remember that our biggest problem is solved positionally. We are safe. We are secure. We are loved. We are forgiven. We are empowered. We are being changed in the inner man, and we should be joyful because of all that Jesus has done and how he continues to be responsible running the planet for my good and for his glory. May I ask you a question? Have you been perhaps a little short on joy these days? Maybe it's time to do some reminiscing. That's not how I wanted to end this. It's time to stop being responsible. This is Wretched Radio.
Well, are you ready for another road trip? Of course you are. Just grab your luggage and let's load up. Okay, not really. You don't need to bring anything but maybe a pen and notebook for our next Road Trip to Truth Season 2, because it's here and it's available now at roadtriptotruth.org. And I know you're asking, how are you guys able to improve on the first season? Well, we have all new experts and new lessons that powerfully counter all of the continuous assaults on Christianity. Those assaults unfortunately wind up sidelining many youth and adults, and so we're diving into topics like the gospel, environmentalism, abortion, pornography, agnosticism, 13 total lessons, as a matter of fact, with new experts like Pastor Milton Vincent, Dr. Greg Gifford, Dr. John Street, Scott Klusendorf, Jess Arns, and more. Road Trip to Truth Season 2. It's on sale right now. And don't forget about the study guide. It's available as well. RoadTripToTruth.org or wretched.org/roadtrip.
So there you are on your Googler machine trying to find a restaurant. What do you look for? Ratings and reviews. If it gets lots of stars, positive reviews, chances are pretty good you're going to go there. Question, would you be inclined to go to a restaurant that had a 98% approval rating and rave reviews? I suspect you would. MediShare, affordable, biblical health sharing, has a 98% approval rating. 400,000 members strong, sharing one another's health care bills, saving billions of dollars over the years, saving families on average $500 a month. And 98% of the members of MediShare give it a hearty thumbs up. I encourage you to call them and see if MediShare is right for you and your family. 1-844-34-BIBLE. 1-844-34-BIBLE for MediShare.
Thank you for listening to Wretched Radio today. Hey, I don't know if you've noticed, but Wretched.org earlier this year got a facelift, and you should go take a gander at all of the changes. You'll still find full-length Wretched TV and Wretched Radio episodes, but here's something new. You can now watch the entire Wretched Radio episodes from the Daily Radio Show post. You can listen and now watch the entire show. And that's not the only change you'll notice at Wretched.org, so go check it out as you get some time, and we want to take just a moment to thank our gospel partners for making it happen. Running a website takes a lot of time, effort, and resources, but changing a website can sometimes take even more, and so we're grateful for all of our gospel partners. So when you visit wretched.org, take a peek at our donate page and find out how you can become an ongoing monthly Wretched Gospel partner too. wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Know your church fathers.
Athanasius was the Bishop of Alexandria in the 4th century. He was a champion of the Church's fight against Arianism and was a chief author of the Nicene Creed. However, his orthodoxy did not equal popularity. Athanasius was exiled no less than 5 times, but Athanasius chose to honor God instead of man.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
No, hate! That's not what I meant! This is Wretched Radio. Swank Scoob, did I just make a dog's breakfast out of this? Encouraging you and me to stop being responsible in the sense that we can't control the outcome of anything. We're simply called to be faithful, put your hand to the plow, don't look back, do your job, and leave the consequences to God, knowing that that is plan A. Maybe you are of the mindset that you've got sort of got things charted out, at least the way that you'd like them to go. I think we all do that. And you think that is plan A, but it goes awry. And so somehow God is going to enter into the scene and make lemonade out of lemons. But that's not the way he works. That thing, the going awry part, that's plan A in God's economy. It might be plan B, C, or X in yours, but it is God's plan A. Why? Because he's orchestrating everything. And you can't control what is going to happen. And so all you need to do is be faithful. And then you can, this is so liberating. This is so freeing to remember, oh yeah, I'm not God. He is. And he's got it. And he's good. And he's able. And he's faithful. And I can trust him for everything, even when it feels like plan M to me. It's God's plan A, and it is best, and it is good. And so in my desire to encourage you to stop being responsible, not that you don't have responsibilities, but the call is to be faithful to your tasks and not feel like you're responsible for the way everything turns out. Jimmy?
Yes?
You were quite grateful to hear this message.
Absolutely. I said challenge accepted.
Because
it makes my job so much easier.
That wasn't the point. That wasn't the goal. We should be the best workers.
Yeah.
But we should be the happiest workers too, and the most joyful workers. And you do what you're supposed to do. We don't let go and let God. We just whatever, que sera. No, that's missing the component of responsibility. We continue to be faithful to the task, acting the way that Jesus would. And so if, let's just say, our Savior decided to enter time and space in this century, and he got a job, you say, that is sounding a little bit like you're flirting around the edges of saying something blasphemous. I hope not. Jesus worked. Jesus had jobs. Jesus made money doing work he had to, because that's the way the economy worked then as it does now. The carpenter from Nazareth had a job. So let's just say that his job was radio producer. How would he do his job?
Well,
that's how I do my job. I'm just going to try to be faithful like he is, and he will take care of the results. So that means, let's just say, Jimmy, as long as you've brought yourself up as an object lesson, you come to work, you've dedicated your day to the Lord, you try to be faithful, but something glitched. The wretched minutes, somehow the whole file just got lost.
Okay.
Right? By the way, did you know those wretched minutes, I just saw the logs on this, are actually airing on about 1,000 Christian stations?
Wow.
Did you know that?
I did not.
I got to tell you, radio is still a very viable form of Christian communication. In fact, it is my suspicion that it will be the last form. So all the other ones get censored. Just my speculation. Jimmy, the file's glitched. I come into the office because I just got a phone call from our distribution management company or whatever they're called. What's going on? What happened? You know how I am. Yeah. What's going on? What'd you do wrong, Jimmy?
Everything.
You can just say, I was faithful.
That's right.
And this is what happened. I was faithful. And you don't have to go home feeling pistol whipped, even if you get yelled at during the day. Have you been faithful? Is somebody disappointed in you? Were you faithful? Then rest. Stop feeling like you can control everything. You can't. We trust, and that is what will grow in your life when you stop being responsible. You've got to trust God more and more. Jesus' words have never rung more true. Okay, they're always ringing true. John 14:1, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. What was he saying? Your anxiety issue is actually a faith issue. Doesn't mean you're not a Christian. It means you're not believing rightly in the moment. That's why Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be anxious. Don't worry about the future. I know it looks really bleak. You talk about it looking bleak for the future. If you think it's bad in the West right now, try being a disciple of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago when they knew he was going to be betrayed, when they knew that he was going to be murdered. How do you think they were feeling? And what did Jesus tell them? Stop being responsible. In essence, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. That's what we're called to do. And if we don't do that, we're not going to grow in that faith. We're not going to grow in that trust. We won't grow as much in hope. We don't let go and let God. We continue to be faithful, but we leave everything up to him. And you, I'm telling you, you'll be set free. You'll just be set free. Not just on a national level, but on a personal level, because you will start to realize, you know, all these henny penny broadcasts that I'm listening to, God's got it. Now I can be pleasant with my wife and children. I listened to some political prognosticator say it's doomsday. God's got it. He knows what's best. He's building his church. That's more important than my life. So I'm going to rest in that, trust him for the outcome, that he knows my state, he knows where my family lives, he realizes what could happen to us, and he is good and he is able and he is faithful. He loves his children. He never does anything to them, only things for them. Okay, then, let's get back to being joyful. You must be joyful. Jesus wants that. And if you are getting sapped of joy, like I think I discovered about myself at the grocery store, am I so in my brain? I don't tend to be, but I'm also delusional and I don't judge myself well. So while I don't have a tendency to kind of get whooped up, in fact, it's kind of funny. Friel, we didn't ask. I'm telling you anyway. Mrs. Friel the other day said, do you remember when, I'll leave his name out of it, but a politician got arrested. And it was somebody that we were quite intrigued by. And she said, I was upstairs, you were downstairs, and you came running up in a way that I've never seen you act before. It was like, you were like, you gotta see this news story. And she said, it struck me, and I remember it to this day, it has to be about 25 years ago, because normally I'm like placid. But I'm also not as self-aware as I need to be. And I need friends, I need my church, I need my spouse, and I need a little bit of honest introspection to realize, but even though I don't have my boat rocked by much, am I a joyful fisherman? That's right, I'm going to milk that illustration. Am I happy to be on the lake? Am I joyful with my fellow fishing mates? Am I a joyful Christian? And I think that the cares of the day, the perpetual bombardment, I don't know if that's a word, the perpetual bombardment of bad news, I've got a stack of them for you right here. I mean, I for instance, let me see if I can find this. This will just annoy you like nobody's business. I was sent this. This is from a public school in California. For seventh graders, do you know what they're asking the children? When was the first time you had sex? What? It was a sexual survey. And we see those things all day, every day, don't we? Now, you can determine if you want to cut that stuff off or not. Whether you consume it, whether you don't, the point remains. Don't let it drag you down. Don't let it cause you to just not be as pleasant as you could be. Ask your spouse, ask your kids, maybe, just maybe, you have been getting confused like I do. Maybe you've been under the delusion that you've got this when you don't. Who does? The one who is at the steering wheel is the sovereign God of the universe, who knows your name, he knows your frame, he knows your life, he knows the future, and because you are in Christ, he loves you with the intensity of the sun. And I mean S-U-N in this instance. It's blazing hot because of the S-O-N, sun. And that will never, ever change. Your forgiveness is not going to go away. Your eternal destination is not going to be altered based on what happens in your life or what you see in your news feed. Might I encourage you again? Listen carefully, Jimmy. Do your job well. Be a great parent. Strive to be a good spouse, great neighbor. Be faithful. But stop being responsible. This is Wretched Radio.
Books of the Bible. The book of Joshua tells of the conquest and division of the Promised Land. There are two consistent themes in Joshua: God's faithfulness and his aversion to unfaithfulness. When you wonder how committed God is to his people, or doubt the seriousness of idolatry, let Joshua remind you that your God is a jealous God. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, this didn't take very long.
The Metaverse is an online platform where people can use virtual reality headsets to transport themselves to any realm they wish, including church. Jackie Bañez explains the appeal of digital worshiping in the Metaverse.
Hold on, Jackie. This is Wretched Radio. Before we get to this news report on Metaverse Church, let's consider what the metaverse is. It's not reality. It is not actual. It is virtual reality. It's a simulation, but it's not the real thing. And yet, as you're about to hear, so many people deceived into thinking, not only am I doing church, I'm doing church better in the universe. In fact, I got baptized in the metaverse.
I believe the future of the church is the metaverse.
A growing number of people are turning to the metaverse for their religious services as folks pop on virtual reality headsets and partake in digital church.
Let me have someone read verses 19 through 21.
But just because it's virtual doesn't mean it's less interactive than going to a physical house of worship.
Hold on, it most certainly is. It's not interactive at all. It's not real. It's like a Billy Joel song. It's just a fantasy. Oh, it's not the real thing. Oh, and yet people are believing, yeah, actually it is. And I put my goggles on and I'm going to church. No, you're not.
If anything, VR church participants say it enhances their religious experience.
Oh, it's better than going to church. Who would have known?
I was able to see a rendering of the verse I was reading, which made scripture much more meaningful.
Well, if you bring your Bible to church, you can do that there.
For me.
And it's so much more than scripture readings. Baptisms are also taking place in the metaverse.
The rebirth that you got from Jesus Christ. Do you want this?
Yes, I do.
Yes. I baptize you now.
But this kind of worshiping isn't just for the tech savvy. Founders say it's helping enhance the lives of people who can't physically attend a church.
Now, that's a point worth considering. What about folks who just can't get to actual, genuine physical worship? I believe we can use technology to witness church, and that is good, and that is right, and it will help you to still feel connected, and that is good. But we need to recognize it's still not church. And that's why when somebody I think is homebound, the church should be coming to them in order to experience the fullness of the assembling of the saints. So let's use technology, but let's not be deceived, no matter what the motivation is, into thinking that this is actual church. It's not. It's virtual. And this is a thought that I think will help us not freak out over the entire concept of the metaverse. I've been seeing all kinds of conversations on different talk shows. I was watching one that was thoroughly secular, and they're very concerned about the metaverse. Well, are there some things that are concerning? Yes. But I would also suggest to you, we need to remember that it is not real. Now, here's the tricky part about the metaverse. Even though it's not real, you go off, put your big goggles on, you go into this pretend world, you could do something there that gets brought into this world. You behave in such a way that people are able to go, look, I was in the metaverse with that guy, and he said or did this thing. That could happen. But that could happen with virtually any form of communication, couldn't it? Face-to-face. I was with him, and he said this. So it doesn't make any difference. My point is, it's not real. And furthermore, you don't need to go there. You don't have to visit the metaverse. I know this isn't a perfect illustration because it does appear with the sophistication of technology that the considerations need to be more sophisticated. But in a sense, this is no different than your computer and your internet. You go there, but you don't go there. Did you ever stop and think, I'm actually there? The deception of the metaverse is you're seeing images and you feel like you're there. You get to go skiing without going to Colorado. You get to see the Eiffel Tower without visiting the location where the Eiffel Tower is. You are not there, and you don't need to go there, which means you don't need to be worried about it. Are you concerned about the internet? Well, yeah, we do have some concerns, but are you worried that somehow your soul is going to get sucked into it? Or even that your kids, now they can be affected by it. There is no question about that. But it's just that. It's an effect. It causes the effect of feeling a certain way in reality or behaving a certain way in reality. Reality is this. It's not that. The metaverse is also, in my opinion, going to be one that I think can be used for nefarious reasons that we should be aware of. There are going to be rules in the metaverse. There are going to be morality clauses. There are going to be things that are acceptable and not acceptable. And incidentally, just in case the gods of the metaverse think that they actually are divine and creating something unique, they're not. The metaverse, which doesn't have God in mind except potentially to hate him, they use his laws all the time. You state the laws of God, the laws of nature, the laws of science that he created and stands behind. They're in the metaverse, so they've lifted from God, they bring it into the metaverse, they do have laws, they do have rules, they do have principles, but they're going to start to be rewritten. And you're going to think, therefore, that you can go do things there, and it just stays there. It doesn't. It comes back into this reality, because you can be tagged for it just like you can on social media. You say something dopey there, and then we find out about it where? In the real world, it's real people responding. The metaverse has all kinds of challenges. For instance, I think that it could be a propaganda tool. It almost certainly already is. Where bad instruction, bad news, censored information will be doled out, controlled by somebody. These things don't program themselves. And they will try to indoctrinate, encourage amoral behavior and attitudes, but it's not real, but it will be brought into reality. That is the danger of the metaverse. But having said all of that, you don't need to go there. Your life doesn't have to change. I don't see why a Christian has to be concerned that somehow this is going to mess things up, except for the fact that we're being deceived into thinking this is actual church.
People like Alina Delp, who was diagnosed with a chronic illness that's confined her to her home.
Suddenly you're empowered again. Suddenly you matter again. Suddenly you're human again.
But can church services originally intended to be done in person really be accomplished online? Some aren't so sure.
Jesus says, when two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. And Christian theologians have not yet grappled with what that means in when they're gathered in digital spaces.
Nope, I think it's pretty clear.
Jackie Vines reporting, supporters of metaverse worship say it's people, not a physical building that embodies a church.
Right. But people, 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 not pixels, people. And this is the problem with that. Do you remember when this first raised its head decades ago? Church isn't a building. It's people. Well, that's true. We just happen to worship in buildings because it protects you from the elements. That isn't the physical building. The brick isn't the church of Jesus Christ. It's the facilitation of the church of Jesus Christ, but it's still real people really being together. Really doing real things, really needing one another, helping one another. I know these days that masks are covering a lot of our emotions. And by the way, just read an article that said one speech therapist saw like a 320-some% rise in speech therapy visits from toddlers because their ability to read lips has been diminished because of the mass, and so they're experiencing speech impediments and struggling to talk. Just remember, it's not death. We see each other. We can. I can't get your physical cues on the metaverse. Not yet, anyway. It's not that sophisticated. I can't read body language. Furthermore, I can't shake your hand, pat you on the back. Not going to do the holy kiss, but greet you warmly. Do the old traditional Baptist hug, you know, where you kind of do the shoulder thing and then you pat three times, never more, never do circles, don't slide off of their arms, and don't raise your foot while you're hugging the other fella. We can't do any of those things. Furthermore, we can't do the one another's. There are some dangers to the metaverse. I get it. I think they will become indoctrination centers. They will become propagators of false information. They will be censored. They will become amoral. They will try to infect reality with their rewriting of virtual reality. And they're going to try to undermine the importance of being in a local church. But I don't think that we need to fear it, because it's simply not real. This is Wretched Radio.
Time. It really is a precious commodity for all of us. We have to be intentional about stewarding our time wisely. And it may be that you have determined that reading a fiction book isn't being a good steward of your time. Well, if I may, not only is reading Randy Alcorn Safely Home worth your time, it is profoundly worth your time and effort to read. And look, don't just take my word for it. Todd says that this book will reorganize your Christian theology and literally enhance your walk. With Safely Home, not only will you find a remarkable story, but you're also going to find a thorough gospel presentation, perfect for believers and non-believers alike. So pick up your copy of Randy Alcorn's Safely Home right now at the Wretched Store. Just log on to wretched.org. That's wretched.org. And see for yourself that reading fiction doesn't have to be a waste of time. It can actually be a blessing to you. Wretched.org.
So there you are on your Googler machine trying to find a restaurant. What do you look for? Ratings and reviews. If it gets lots of stars, positive reviews, chances are pretty good you're going to go there. Question, would you be inclined to go to a restaurant that had a 98% approval rating and rave reviews? I suspect you would. MediShare, affordable, biblical health sharing, has a 98% approval rating. 400,000 members strong, sharing one another's health care bills, saving billions of dollars over the years, saving families on average $500 a month. And 98% of the members of MediShare give it a hearty thumbs up. I encourage you to call them and see if MediShare is right for you and your family. 1-844-34-BIBLE. 1-844-34-BIBLE for MediShare.
90.
That's New Year's resolution time. But before you make yours, I have a different type of challenge for you. How about instead of resolving to be a better person this year, you instead commit to leaving a legacy for Christ. And one surefire way you can do just that is by becoming a monthly Wretched Gospel partner. Currently, Wretched Radio and TV is seen and heard on nearly 1,000 stations combined worldwide. The second season of Road Trip to Truth has just been released with season 3 in production, solving the God puzzle on its way to 1 million copies distributed and transformed. Our latest TV series highlighting biblical counseling is set to debut later this year. We're striving to reach people all over the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're only able to do that with the support of our gospel partners. So would you prayerfully consider joining us? Just log on to wretched.org/donate to get all of the details. wretched.org/donate.
Hermeneutics. The Bible is not a manual. While it should be read literally, the books fit into a variety of genres, including narrative, poetry, prophecy, and epistle. How we understand and apply scripture begins with identifying what genre we are reading. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, this is going to encourage you then. This is Wretched Radio. Before I get to Alistair Begg and his Scottish brogue, would like to talk to you about Ukraine. You say, why are you using your Scottish accent for your Ukrainian comments? Because the accent is pretty much the same. That's the only one I've got, so it really doesn't make much of a difference. No doubt you've been seeing the news, Ukraine potentially under attack. We don't know what Mr. Putin is up to, but I do know this. It causes unrest, and it causes a citizen to be a little bit anxious, and it can also hinder planning. What if this, then that? Should we do this? Should we do that? I bring this up not to discuss geopolitics, whether or not we should go to war. Do we have an interest in Ukraine? But I bring it up because of the Tomorrow Clubs. There are almost 1,000 Tomorrow Clubs in Ukraine. I don't know, it's hundreds of Tomorrow Clubs, whatever. It's a lot. It's kind of ground zero for them. Kids clubs all over Ukraine, poor parts of the country. I don't even know that they have one in Kyiv. Maybe they do, but they're predominantly out there in the regions where very few missionaries go. The Tomorrow Clubs are there. They gather the kids. They give them treats. And I have to tell you, I'm not a treat fan. I don't think we should need Krispy Kremes to lure adults to a Sunday school. It's nice, but when I see these little kids just get the most meager, modest treat, their faces explode with joy. And they learn to love the person now who is going to introduce them to Jesus. That ain't a bad thing. The Tomorrow Club's magnificent ministry. About 30 disciples in each one of these little villages, because that's what they do. They disciple them. They don't do run-and-gun evangelism. They don't do event evangelism. Instead, they disciple these kids. It's amazing. Be praying for Paul and Cindy as they lead through that. Be praying for Max, I think, heads up Ukraine. Victor is in Romania. Max, be praying for him. Give him wisdom. And for the Tomorrow Club teachers, that they would not cancel, be afraid, but would keep gathering them kids together to hear the gospel. If you'd like to support yourself, one of those Tomorrow Clubs, you can do that at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched. Let's get to Alistair Begg, shall we? I did a binge on Alistair Begg over the weekend. You know how that works. You hit one, you find another. And I stumbled into a magnificent sermon. You will be hearing it soon on Wretched Radio. But it was because I was actually looking for a clip. We've played it here before. I don't think you're going to be bored with this. And the reason I went looking for it was because of this, which was sent to me somehow. I don't know. I think Mrs. Friel actually sent this to me. How does the thief on the cross fit into your theology? Now, out of the tens and tens of people who listen to this wretched radio program, if you happen to believe that it is faith alone, grace alone, Jesus Christ alone, baptism isn't required, bearing tons of fruit isn't required. No, what's required is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, granted by God himself. So you probably have no difficulties with the thief on the cross, but if you do not have the gospel square, some way or another, the thief on the cross is going to cause you to get a stubbed toe. How does the thief on the cross fit into your theology? No baptism, no communion, no confirmation, no speaking in tongues, no mission trip, no volunteerism, and no church clothes. There are a number of these that become customs. Unfortunately, there's a number of the items in this list that actually become essentials, that if you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. Well, what do we do with the thief on the cross who saw Jesus that day in his kingdom? He wasn't able to speak in tongues. He wasn't able to get baptized, which is what many people, especially in the South, teach. You've got to get baptized, otherwise, that's what the Duck Dynasty people teach. They try to be coy. No hunting pun intended. They try to be coy about it, but their church doctrine, and based on the confession of their own mouths, they believe that baptism is a necessity for salvation, and so is doing good stuff to demonstrate you are saved. What do we do with the thief on the cross? He didn't say the sinner's prayer. Well, that's fascinating, isn't it? Because if you listen to Witness Wednesday here on Wretched Radio, you never hear us leading anybody in a sinner's prayer, because while I get it, the individual, the sinner, does need to pray, I don't think that it should be led by somebody any more than if you commit adultery, I should come behind you and whisper into your ear what you should say to your wife to be put back into her good graces. I think we should let the person pray. Just let them pray. Let them talk to God. Do they even need to do it in front of you? Of course not. So you perhaps have wondered, why don't they do the sinner's prayer? That's why. And if you believe that the sinner's prayer is a necessity for, that's the way it's got to be done. What do you do with the thief on the cross? He did not offer up a sinner's prayer. Among other things, he was a thief. Jesus didn't take away his pain, heal his body, or smite the scoffers. Yet it was a thief who walked into heaven the same hour as Jesus simply by believing. He had nothing more to offer other than his belief that Jesus was who he said he was. No spin from brilliant theologians. No ego or arrogance. No shiny lights, skinny jeans, or crafty words. No haze machine donuts or coffee in the entrance. Just a naked man dying on a cross, unable to even fold his hands to pray. What do you do with the thief on the cross?
Without the preaching of the cross, without preaching the cross to ourselves all day and every day, we will very, very quickly revert to faith plus works as the ground of our salvation. So that, to go to the old Fort Lauderdale question, if you were to die tonight and you were getting entry into heaven, what would you say? If you answer that, and if I answer it in the first person, we've immediately gone wrong. Because I believed, because I have faith, because I am this, because I am continuing. Loved ones, the only proper answer is in the third person, because he. And think about the thief on the cross. And what an immense, I can't wait to find that fellow one day to ask him, how did that shake out for you? Because you were cussing the guy out with your friend. You've never been in a Bible study. You never got baptized. You didn't know a thing about church membership. And yet, you made it. You made it. How did you make it? That's what the angel must have said. You know, like, what are you doing here? Well, I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? Well, because I don't know. Well, you know, excuse me, let me get my supervisor. They go get a supervisor in. So, we're just a few questions for you. First of all, are you clear on the doctrine of justification by faith? The guy said, I never heard of it in my life. And what about, let's just go to the doctrine of scripture immediately. This guy's just staring. And eventually in frustration, he says, on what basis are you here? And he said, the man on the middle cross said, I can come.
Amen.
Now, that is the only answer. That is the only answer. And if I don't preach the gospel to myself all day and every day, then I will find myself beginning to trust myself, trust my experience, which is part of my fallenness as a man. If I take my eyes off the cross, I can then give only lip service to its efficacy, while at the same time living as if my salvation depends upon me. And as soon as you go there, it will lead you either to abject despair or a horrible kind of arrogance. Mm. And it is only the cross of Christ that deals both with the dreadful depths of despair and the pretentious arrogance of the pride of man that says, you know, I can figure this out and I'm doing wonderfully well. No, because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free for God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me.
What do you do with the thief on the cross? It should cause you to love the Lord. That guy didn't deserve to be saved, and neither did we, and yet he did. And it was nothing that he had to do. It's nothing we can do. It's everything that he has done. If you have not been thinking much on the thief on the cross, perhaps today is a good day to remember him as a terrific example of you being saved by grace alone. And until tomorrow, go serve your King.